Let's do something every day. I mean, most of us get up and we walk. Most of us get up and we eat. Right, Wesley? Every day. A couple times a day. Five times a day. Okay. So, but there are things we usually do every day just to exist. You know, we breathe. We communicate with others normally. These are common occurrences that happen in our lives day after day. But there is something that is a daily encounter that we face, that we come encounter, that we come accustomed to, that I think is important that we understand so we can know how to fight against it. The Bible says that we face temptations. We confront different types of temptations on a regular basis. They are so common, sometimes we don't even realize that it is a temptation and that it is a something we should deal with, we should be ready for, and we should be standing against. Did you hide that? She did, okay. So this morning we're going to look at what I consider the greatest promise when it comes to about our temptations. And we need to be aware of our temptations today, tomorrow, every day for the rest of our lives. You know what? You're going to be tempted. And we're going to talk about different types of temptations. People think temptations, they're thinking, okay, that's talking about just wickedness. No, it's not. That word can be defined different ways, and we're going to look at that a little bit. It's the one who is tempting us. You know, God never tempts us to sin. The devil is trying to destroy us. God is trying to build us. And when we look at these different temptations, the word can be talking about trials. The word can be talking about examining. The word can be talking about different type of definitions. But I think we need to understand that God helps us with these temptations. Probably, I believe, one of the greatest promises when it comes to temptation is found in a verse that many of you may be able to quote. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, "There have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man." So here he got the idea that there's things that are common. Sometimes people, they say, man, no one has ever been tempted like this. No one has ever been tried like this. No one has ever gone through these things before. But this is a good reminder to us that, you know what? Someone else has done it before. Someone else has experienced it before. And that some might be unique, but it is common to man. This is something that is normal. It says, but God is faithful. And that's just a wonderful promise right there. He is faithful. We know he's faithful every single time. God that cannot fail, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. And I know some people say, boy, I feel like I've been tempted or I've been tried above more than I'm able. And here's the part we got to remember. That's with God. When we're looking at this and understanding this, there is many things God brings into our lives that we cannot handle without God. There is many things, and there's many times God allows things to happen in our lives to take us to him and to cause us to run to him. And here in the passages of scripture, he says, look, you're not going to be tempted above that you're able. And I tell you that there are circumstances that happen in our lives that we could not make it without God. And I don't know about you, but I don't know how certain people make it without God. I really just don't. I see when you see death, there was a 23-year-old boy that is Fran Key's nephew. Some of you know Fran, and he died just recently, and he'd be praying for that family there. And I talked to the family, and I talked to her, and I was like, I don't know how people do it without God. Some people try, but as much as he means to me, as much as I depended upon him, as much as I hold to this verse as being truth, and this helps me, this is a friend. It's like, okay, God, you have said that you're not going to give me more than I can handle. You know what that means? I can put the next foot in front of the other. And I can put the next foot in front of the other. Because this is a promise that you've given me. And even though I feel like I've been tempted, even though I feel like I've been tried, I can continue on because you promised me this. I know about you. I don't know about you, but there have been times when I just looked at him and says, you said you're not going to give me more than I can handle. And that's when we cast our cares upon him. That's why we enter into his yoke, because he says his yoke is easy, his burden is light. I don't know about you, but sometimes that just doesn't feel that way. But reality teaches us the word of God, the truth of the word of God, and we can believe in him because God is faithful. And he says, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And here it is, and sometimes we got to pray, we got to look for that way of escape. And sometimes it is learning to depend and trust in God more, believing the promises of God. Seeing, like we were talking about the next few weeks as we lead up to our friend day, believing to see the goodness of God. We got to see this with these promises. And this is, we're going to face temptation. There's not going to be a day that you don't get up and the devil's going to say, man, I've been working you so hard and so long for over these years. I'm not going to bother you at all today. It just doesn't happen. He just doesn't get up and say, man, you've done such a good job. I'm going to give you a week off. Every day when you get up, there's going to be some type of temptation. I don't know about you, but this morning, you might not have wanted to get out of the bed. I mean, you might have been like there, and you were sleeping good. You had the alarm go off, and you're like, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to read my Bible this morning. I don't want to pray. I don't want to whatever it is that we know we should be doing. So let's look at this verse. Let's look at some different things about this verse, and I pray this can be a help to you. We're going to look at a little bit more about the words and maybe break down the verse a little bit more to try to help us understand the greatest promise about temptation. First, I want you to see the meaning of temptation. This word can be translated in different ways. The meaning of temptation. What makes this verse so important is that we need to understand the word temptation here. Generally, when we think of temptation, we think of someone or something making us want to do something wrong. However, the word temptation is a much broader than that, with both good and bad connotations. This verse can be translated in different ways. The Greek word for temptation found in 1 Corinthians 10:13 is piramos. If I said that wrong, I'm sorry. But to fully understand what this word means, it helps to see where it's mentioned also in other parts of the Bible. You think about the story about the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus goes and he says an interesting question to Philip. He says, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this next phrase, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now, sometimes that if you think about it, that could just drive you crazy. God asks you a question, bring something to your heart, bring something to your life. He says, I guess I already know the answer. I just want to see what you're going to do with the response, how you're going to respond. And it's a teaching method. It's a teaching time for him. And you know what? Here this word, the Greek word here for the word prove here is the same word, piramos, or however you say that, as prove. It's the exact same Greek word. And there's some people that say, oh, temptation is nothing about just bad things. No, here in this spot, the exact same word is used. Jesus knew how he was going to feed these people, but he wanted to prove Philip. Jesus is trying to strengthen Philip's faith by proving him, or rather, tempting him. He's saying to him, now there's different ways that God tempts us. You know, when God tempted Abraham, talking about taking Isaac up to the mountain, it wasn't the fact that he was tempting him to do sin. He was trying to prove him. He was trying to test him. And we see in this passage of scripture, that's what Jesus is trying to do, is tempt him. And when we go back to this verse, then when we understand in 1 Corinthians, this is a word that we got to remember that sometimes it's speaking about when Jesus is trying to prove us. There's another word, another time that this word is used in scripture. It's found here. There's another time when it's used. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. The word we're studying about in this verse here is the exact same root word where it talks about the word. It's not prove this time, but instead is examine. It's the same, the piramos word that we have. And the definitions, if you think about it this way, this word could be used for the word examine, could be used for the word approving. And if you think of the definition this way, and when it comes to the verse, and I'm not trying to replace scripture, I'm trying to help us understand. But think about it this way. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there have no temptation taken you, right? But if you take that word, it says there has no proven taking you, no proving that's taken you. There have no examine taken you. But which is common to man. It's the idea here that if we look at this and understand the testing process and the temptations that happen in our lives aren't always something gets to tempt us to evil. Sometimes God is causing us to examine ourselves. See, he brings things in our lives that we know, he knows we cannot handle. See how we respond. I think about Jonah. Jonah in the story, he was prideful, I think. I think earlier we find Jonah in the Old Testament. I think it's in 1 Kings. And it talked about how Jonah actually had a good prophecy and he prophesied to the people. And everybody was excited. Everybody liked Jonah because he prophesied good things. But God, to humble Jonah and to teach Jonah something, says, now I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah's like, I can't go there. And so God brought something into his life to prove Jonah. Jonah thought he was good. Jonah thought he had everything worked out. Jonah thought everything was great and wonderful. But he says, here, okay, you think you're so spiritual. You think you're so holy. Let me tell you to send you to Nineveh. And that showed how self-centered he was. And I tell you, sometimes God allows things in our lives to open up to us and say, here, this is what you need to work on. This is where you need your help. And that's what he's saying to Philip. Philip, he's like, how are we going to pay for all this bread? I mean, who's going to feed all this? He wanted Philip to understand and see that he did not believe the way he needed to believe. He did not understand. The disciples wanted to send him away, but Jesus says, who's going to take care of that? You think about Naaman. Naaman, the guy that had the leprosy. You know, he had to get humble before God was going to be able to heal him. He had to realize it wasn't about his might. It wasn't about his strength. And Elisha didn't even come to the door to greet him. He says, and Elijah sent the messenger, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. He got mad and wanted to walk away. And sometimes in our lives, God gives us something to do that is so simple and so easy that we have to be reminded that, you know, it's not about us. And over in his word, he brings things in our lives to teach us and to prove us and to examine us. And sometimes when something happens into our life that has nothing to do with sin, and don't get me wrong, most of the time it does have something to do with sin. But sometimes he lets a trial or a test or a proving to come into our lives to make us stronger. So the idea here is that this word that we're studying is immoral. So what do you mean immoral? Immoral, meaning that it's talking about it can be used for good, it could be used for evil. It's something that you can work at. Think about it. I don't know about you, but I like tests in school. Most people don't like tests. I like tests. And the reason why is because I hated doing homework. So if I did good on the test, I didn't have to do the homework. And that's I learned by listening. At least in school, that's the way it used to work. I listen and I pick up and I take what the teacher's taking. I usually did pretty good on the test. I didn't do very good on the homework because I didn't write it out as much as I should. But God's not going to give us a test that we can't handle. It's like if I went up to Jesse Parker and gave him a test about four year Greek, how would you do on it? It would all be Greek to him, right? So, that's not the type of test that God's going to give Jesse. That's not the trial or the temptation. He's going to give something to Jesse that's going to help him examine himself and said, okay, Jesse, this is going to help you open up and see what you are, because so many times humility is such the hallmark of a Christian life that we have to realize that it's not about us, it is about God. And he's saying, look, no temptation, no trial, no proving, no examination is not common to us. It's been happening all across for the thousands of years because God loves people and he wants people to understand that with him, remember, God is faithful, that he'll give us a way of escape. He won't give us anything we can't handle. He's not going to give us that 4-year Greek test. He's not going to give us those tests where we just look at it and say, I don't have any chance. He's going to bring something in your life that you can handle with him and with his help. This word is, once again, immoral. This is meaning it's lacking a moral sense. It's unconcerned with righteousness or wrongfulness of something. As we mentioned earlier, generally we think of temptation as something, a bad thing. But temptation does not necessarily refer to something evil. That connotation has to do with the person that is doing the tempting. Let's think about it. Let's compare scripture to scripture here. You know, it's who's doing the tempting. Here, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Satan is tempting Jesus Christ. He says, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made to bread. Now, what is Satan trying to do? Is Satan trying to encourage Jesus to keep on with his walk? No, no. Satan is trying to derail Jesus. He knows if he can get Jesus to sin, if he can get Jesus to do wrong, the whole count, the whole plan, everything else, it just would not happen. Him going to the cross, him dying because if he had sin in his life, He couldn't be the perfect sacrifice for us. He couldn't be our substitute. So what is Satan trying to do? Satan is trying to derail him. But you think about it, God also tempted too. You think about in Genesis chapter 21, verses 20. Man, my thing does not want to work today. He goes and he tempts Abraham. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Did God tempt Abraham because he wanted Abraham to fall? No. God is trying to strengthen him. God is trying to use this situation to strengthen him, to help him to realize who he is and who his true love was with. And Abraham said, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Take now my son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of." So was God trying to tempt Abraham to fail? No, it tells us here in the Hebrews. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. God brought something to his life to prove something to Abraham himself, that even when it came to his greatest possession, he still loved God more. He still counted the promises to be true. He still says, you know what? God promised me this. God promised me this nation. God promised me this land. God said I was going to have a seed that was more than the sands of the seas, more than the stars of the skies. I can trust God during this temptation. And what is he doing there? He is building up his faith. Because if he learns this lesson here, and if you go and you look back there at the different trials and temptations that Abraham went before this, there were some really discouraging days. He had to learn these things. This was his mountaintop. After this, Abraham does really well. It's sort of like the day when Jacob wrestled with God. He finally got to himself. He says, you know what? This is the day that things are going to change in my life. Abraham walked with God, was the friend of God, counted, you know, believed God, and was counted for him for righteousness' sake. But God still tested him. God still put that, and yet, once again, with the understanding, he tempted him. He has helped him examine himself. He helped him to just know what was in him. You know, as the all-knowing, all-powerful God, he sees what we are capable of becoming. He works things in our lives to bring us to a level of maturity. This thought leads us to the understanding why we have the reasons for temptation. So that's the second point here, the reasons for temptations. The reasons for temptations. You know what? There's God's heart and then there's Satan's motives, and they are completely different. It's obvious to state that God and Satan approach things differently. They have different motives. They have different intentions. While God desires to help and mature us, Satan will try to convince us that God is not good or not in control of your situation. If you like to, let's take our Bibles to James chapter number 1. In James chapter number 1, you have a familiar passage of scripture to many of you because it helps us understand where these trials and temptations come. In James chapter number 1, look what it says in verses 12 through 15. James 1, verses 12 through 15, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God." Now once again, this is the temptation of sinning. "For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." And then once again, he is not going to tempt us to do evil. But then they explain to us how we sin. "But every man is tempted." And once again, this is tempted to do evil. "When he is drawn away of his own lusts, it is his own desires that cause him to be drawn away and enticed." It's not just being drawn away from it. You entertain it. "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So we see what the things that are here and the understanding is the reason for the temptation. As we consider this truth, let's consider how God may be allowing us through some certain testings. So think about it. The temptation is brought into our life will do one of two things. It will either fulfill our flesh or will fortify our faith. It will either fulfill our flesh or fortify our faith. There is an obvious type of temptation, and that one is your flesh uses against you. The world, the flesh, and the devil each fight against you in an attempt to hinder conformity to Christ. when faced with these temptations to sin, resist the urge and submit to God. You know, when you brought a temptation in your life, you're going to have, and this is for sin, you know, something comes into your life and you have a choice. This, we can choose to do what's going to make our flesh happy, or we can choose to believe the promises that God's given us, and that will strengthen our faith. What would have made Abraham happy? Abraham would have not liked to have gone through the Mount Moriah experience. What would have made some of the other things happy? You know, to do it the easy way, to give in to the flesh. You know what? That's what we want to do. But if we say no, you know what's going to happen? Our faith is going to be strengthened. It's going to be fortified. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God will use tests to fortify our faith. He doesn't allow these temptings just to make life more difficult. He allows them because he loves you and he wants to make you stronger. You think about Paul. He's sitting in that prison cell. That had to be a time of temptation. That had to be a time where he was coming to the point and saying, man, this is not worth it. I've done all these things for God. I've started all these churches. And here I sit in this jail cell. And what does he write? He doesn't tell Timothy to give up. He doesn't tell the church of Philippi, throw in the towel. What does he write? He says, I can do all things through Christ. He's sitting in a jail cell right now. I can do all things for Christ. He's writing, rejoice evermore. He's talking to them, talking about how God is going to meet their needs. So the first reason why you're tempted is either to fulfill your flesh or to fortify your faith. And when you come across this temptation, we need to determine that it's either of the flesh and the devil or whether it's of God. The Bible says here, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted if he any man. So if the temptation is to do sin, then obviously that's not coming from God. And if a temptation you face is contrary to the nature of God, or it's pleasing to your flesh, then it's not of God. Seek to discern the attacks of the devil. Next thing I want you to think about is temptation comes in our life to either cause us to crash or to conform us to Christ. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, he wanted Jesus to fail. Satan caused a series of temptations in many people's lives. Probably the one that we see the most and understand the best is the story of Job. And I'm thankful that story's in there. Because we see how Satan has to go to God and get allowance for what he is going to do to a child of God. Now, why does Satan do this? Job almost lost everything he had, but he recognized the trials would make him better if he allowed God to accomplish his purposes. So Job chose to trust God and to conform to him rather than crash in defeat. He even said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job made this statement before all the things happened, before all the good things came back to him. He says, look, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He chose to allow the trials and the temptations of a life to conform him to Christ than to cause him to crash. And what are we going to do with the trials? What are we going to do with the temptations? What are we going to do with the hardships? Are we going to allow it to conform us to Christ? Or, like I see many of us, that we just crash. And we're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Last but not least on this point is to destroy our pride or to develop our patience. To destroy our pride or develop our patience. Every person struggles with pride. As an evidence in many different ways in many different places. You think about the story of Jonah. You know, he was doing what was right. He thought he was good. But I believe God picked something he knew that Jonah would not do to reveal to him how self-centered he was. While we struggle with pride, it's often one of the hardest things to identify. You think about the story about David and the sin with Bathsheba. What did Samuel do? Samuel came and he gave him a little parable. And in that story, David got so mad and he said, you know, we should kill that guy and then we should make him repay this and repay that. And then it came back to show David that you're the man, that you're the one. What does that do? It destroys, it shows him that the pride he has in his life. And how did he respond? He says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is ever before thee. See, our temptations expose our pride. So how do we look at this? Look here in James chapter 1 again. Look at verses 2 through 4. The Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I don't know about you, but I don't usually get excited when I'm tempted with something. When I am tried with something or when I am brought to a certain spot to examine myself or when I am brought to something that where it's to prove me or even to tempt me with sin. The Bible is saying, look, count it all joy. He said, make sure in your life that it is counted all joy. And why? Why would we do that? Look what it says in verse number 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's a purpose to it. That you're trying, it's going to work patience. And then let patience, look what it says in verse 4, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So in the passages of Scripture, he's saying, look, when the temptations come in your life, don't bemoan them. Don't give in to your flesh. Don't crash. Instead, help it to fortify your faith. Help it to conform you to Christ. Develop patience in your life so that you can have and be, at the end, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And that's what the temptations and trials will do. Abraham, man, I couldn't imagine facing that temptation. Job, I couldn't imagine facing what he faced. But at the end, you see that the pushing and the prodding and the hard work that was involved in dealing with these things, it made them stronger. And that's what we got to remember in this life. God gave us that promise. He says the temptation is just something everybody else has gone through. But God is faithful. And he will see us through that temptation. He will give us a way of escape. You think about it, if I brought a present in here and I had it all wrapped up nice and neat and I gave to somebody, they opened it up and it says the word divers temptations there. They would be pretty disappointed in it because nobody really is looking for that. But when you're going through it, remember, in all reality, it is a gift from God to help us become more like Him. It's no fun going through them. It's no fun struggling. It's no fun to see hardships, but we got to believe the promises of God and what He says. Okay, last but not least, third point is escape from the temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 does not give you assurance that you can handle the temptations to face it, but it also gives you a promise to escape from the temptation. There have no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Some people use this verse, and they claim the promise of God. They have it memorized. And I tell you, when you're going through a trial, just to say these words will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, they can be a help to you. I don't know about you. For me, I like the verse, for his grace is sufficient. And that's the words for me. And that's what God's been teaching me. And lots of times this is what I had to say over and over as I'm going through a trial and saying, look, God, you said your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. And here in this passage of Scripture, I've heard people tell me, hey, I have been able to get through this because I believe this. I believe that God says that He's not going to give us more than we can handle. I believe that He will give us a way of escape. I believe He will make me able to bear it. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. But God is saying that this promise is saying that He is faithful and He is going to make sure that you're able to bear what you're going through. He's going to give you a way to escape. He's not going to suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. So what does that mean? I know this has a lot of connotations, but you know, there's some different things I think that is people can use this as a weapon during a battle. You know, when you're fighting and you're struggling in your Christian walk, remember, we wrestle. And you know, we fight. It's a battle. It's a spiritual war. And this is one of the armor. This is part of the weapons that God gives us. It gives us His Word that we combat the devil with. What happened when Christ was tempted? What did He do? He quoted Scripture back. And this can be a weapon. When you're going through the hardships, memorize this verse and say, you know what? I trust God. I believe God's promises. And He says I can handle it. It might not feel like I can handle it. It might not feel like I can make it and keep on going. But this is my weapon. I can do it. I don't think, I never designed a building or a room or anything like that. Some of you, I know you have. But there is one thing that is always necessary, a way to get in and out. If you had a room that didn't have any doors, you'd be in trouble. If it didn't have any windows, if it had no way in, no way out, whoever was, you'd be stuck there. But God's saying here that, yeah, the temptations are coming. yes, they're going to be hard, but I'm going to give you a way out. So when this has been designed, and when your life has been designed, and when it seems like you're trapped and there's no way out, use this weapon. Use this as a weapon to help us understand the truth. Next thing, I read one preacher that put it this way, that a nurse during surgery, I thought it was kind of nice, it said, nurses are often the unsung heroes in the medical field. For instance, think of all they do in just one scenario of prepping a person for surgery. Among many things, a nurse might remind you of the purpose for the surgery. She might explain what will happen and how you will feel. She may even offer words of comfort and encouragement to calm your fears during a difficult situation. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, this verse can do the same thing to your heart. Before you enter into the spiritual surgery, it reminds us of the purpose for our trial. It explains that we will be tempted. It also reminds us that we won't be given more than we can bear. The verse also offers words of comfort and encouragement to calm our fears during difficult situations. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is a balm to a hurting heart, a nurse to our spiritual condition. You know, if we're looking for comfort, it's found right there. If we're looking for hope, it's found right here. It is like the nurse that's saying, everything will be okay. You can handle this. It's a shelter during a storm. When enduring a storm, it is uncommon to think that it is not uncommon to think that you're the only person who has ever endured a storm of a similar magnitude and severity. I know sometimes we have pity parties and we say, man, I'm the only person that ever faced this. But you may feel as though you have been the only one to ever dealt with this particular situation and no one else can understand the hurt of your pain. But this verse speaks to the contrary. It says, such as is common to man. You know what? It teaches us something. It helps us to remind us and said, other people have been through this. They've had the same difficulties, the same hardships, the same problems, and God has seen them through it. This verse assures us of that. Also, last but not least, it's a friend during crisis. It's a friend during crisis. I'm thankful for good friends. I appreciate my friends. I appreciate those that come alongside me and say, everything's going to be okay. But they don't really know that. But God in His Word says, you know what? I'm going to give you something that I know you can handle. I can trust Him for that. Now, when my friend says, I know everything's going to be okay, that, you know, we're going to make it through this or this is going to happen, they don't really know that. Now, if they're giving me a verse and they're giving me scripture and they give me a promise I can fall back on, yes. But this can be a best friend to you when you're lonely. I mean, this could be a best friend of you when the temptations come and the hardships come. It can be a friend to you during this time because you can find comfort. You can find solace there. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is a verse you can always turn to as you face a crisis in your life. This verse is a timeless promise, a faithful friend, a timely comfort, and a constant reminder. You can count on its words to never fail you during your times of hurt and need. I don't know about you, but when I think about temptations, trials, my favorite verse, at least one of them, it talks about how Jesus Christ went through the same things we did. Think about what it says in Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. When you come to Christ to share Him your temptation with Him that you're facing, He's not like a counselor that cannot relate to it. When I went and sat with Frankie's family there, and they told me about the 23-year-old boy who had passed away, I could not share in that experience because I'd never faced anything close to that. But I sat there with them. You know, God's saying, Jesus Christ is saying that He has faced everything. He was tempted just like we are, but in all points tempted like we are. He had faced everything that we will ever face. And He did it without sin. Now, I know you say, well, He didn't have a child to die. He still faced the temptations that will be involved in every situation. We can go to Him. It's not like that I'm sitting in that room, and I'm talking with them, I'm listening to them, and I can offer them the Bible, I can offer them the Word of God, I can offer them hope from there that God still loves each individual. He loved that son, and it was a tragedy, it was a tragic death. That. Now, somebody else whose son went through the same thing could go, a family that went through the same thing could come and be a probably a better comfort or better counselor to them, saying, you know, I went through the exact same thing and God helped me and I'm still, it's not easy, but every day gets a little bit better. I can't tell them that because I've never lived through it. But we can go to someone who has lived through it. We can go to someone and then we can pray for, and we can have the biblical advice that he can bring to our minds. And the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain and find grace to help in the time of need. That's right after that verse. They said, Jesus, he was tempted just like us in all points, always, yet without sin. He says, because of that, let us now come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. No matter what we're going through, we should not be disheartened. You've never gone through a trial or a test that Jesus Christ cannot understand. He's never seen a struggle that he cannot help you through. He's always been faithful to fulfill this promise. And we got to remember that. Today we're going to look at our first in our series about believing the sea. And the story is going to be about believing the sea, the goodness of God and his promises. This is a great promise to see the goodness of God, that he can take everything and give us a way of escape. We can learn. We can grow. We can face it because the things we learn in this verse. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Lord, I pray you help us today. I thank you for the great promises in your word. Lord, but I wonder how many of us really live by them. Lord, the modern day Christian that we live in today, Christians that we have today, are usually filled with apathy, fear, discouragement. And Lord, I pray that we hold on to the promises of God, that we believe this. So many Christians feel like they have to fail, they have to sin, they have to give in. But Lord, in your word here, you promise us that you're never going to give us anything we can't handle. In your word, you tell us that you're going to give us a way to escape. Lord, in your word, you tell us that we're going to be able to bear it. And Lord, I pray that we see this and we understand this. We understand when the hardships come that sometimes God allows those things to help us examine ourselves, to help us prove ourselves. And we see when the devil tries to tempt us with sin, we know he's trying to derail us. He's trying to cause us to crash. He's trying to cause us to fall back from what you desire for our lives. Lord, let us allow to be patient. Let it have the perfect work in our life. Help us to strive to be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. Lord, speak to people's hearts today through the preaching of your word and the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.